You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Time to dig into some more Christmas hymns. And our guest back for more, Pastor Peter Ill, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. Welcome back, Pastor Ill. Thanks for joining us for these great Christmas hymns. You get some of the all-time favorites, mm-hmm. I think. Thanks for joining us for these hymns. Lutheran Service Book 379, O Come All Ye Faithful. 380, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And 381, Let Our Gladness Have No End. Let's dig in. Oh, come all ye faithful. What have ye to say about this?
Oh, come all ye faithful is one of the tried and true Christmas hymns of the church, but also our culture really has an affinity and a love for this hymn as well. But I have to admit that when I was learning a little bit more about this hymn to get to be with you this morning, I thought that O Come All Ye Faithful, because I knew that it had originally been written in Latin, was therefore old. But I found out that it was written by John F. Wade in the mid-1800s. And so it's not really all that old, but it was originally written in I grew up, and in high school, I actually sang it in Latin when we did Latin class Christmas caroling, which was a whole lot of fun.
Wow.
But this also, in our hymnal, is included with Spanish text, and so it is the church's song, and just the fact that we have a hymn that was originally written in Latin, now we have it in English, we have it for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Spanish, reminds us that this is a hymn of the whole church that is bigger than any language or nation or time or place, but this is the whole church's hymn, because we have a Savior, Jesus, for the whole entire church. And stanza 2 of this hymn really brings out the Nicene Creed and really borrows the language of the Nicene Creed in stanza 2. And that goes like this. Highest, most holy, light of light eternal, born of a virgin, immortal he comes, Son of the Father, now in flesh appearing. And then it goes into the refrain, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And as we hear those very words about how Jesus is the light of light eternal, born of a virgin, made man, as a mortal he comes, it draws our minds back to those very words that we confess in the Nicene Creed about how Jesus is light of light, God of light of light, God of God, and so on. We also have in the third stanza an invitation to the church. And the third stanza goes like this. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above, glory to God in the highest. And then it goes back into that refrain. But here we have a picture not only of the angels coming to the shepherds that Christmas night when Jesus was born, but also of the heavenly worship in the book of Revelation, when the elders and the living creatures and the angels are around the throne, also with the church, with those who have been sealed as God's people, and all in heaven surround the throne, singing the same song. And so as we get to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, in the church on earth this week, we also get to sing alongside the angels and the saints in heaven, all the citizens of heaven above. And as we do that, especially for those who are grieving during this Christmas season, who may have recently lost a loved one, or maybe this is a first holiday since a loved one has passed away, that third stanza of all the citizens of heaven are joining in this song, and we all adore Christ who is the resurrection and the life together, is a wonderfully comforting thing for us to bear in mind.
And I think especially with these this group that we're talking about today that are more familiar to us, I think it's useful for people to maybe read the words during the week, because when we sing it in church, you may just be singing because you're, you know, you sing it all the time and you know the words, but you know, paying attention to the words and reading according to the punctuation, I think is a very useful thing to really understand what we're singing.
I think that any chance you have to open up your hymn book and don't read the notes, but just read the words out loud as poetry, mm-hmm. really has an impact and a power, especially with some of these favorite Christmas hymns, when you get the festival organ settings and full churches that everybody wants to sing these hymns strongly and proudly, and then you bring in the trumpets and the brass mm-hmm. and the timpani and everything is exciting. We can miss the words for the wonderful music, mm-hmm. but this music is absolutely sublime. Mm-hmm. The words are sublime. The music is also wonderful.
O Come All Ye Faithful, 379. Let's move on to 380. Hark, the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark, the Herald Angels Sing is a hymn that, once again, is well-known and well-loved, not just in the church, but also in the mall and on the Christmas radio stations, and we hear it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. This hymn was written by Charles Wesley within the first year after he converted to Christianity, and there were some editorial changes made. As far as the poetry goes, the first line was actually not original to Charles Wesley, but someone else, one of his editors, changed that line from something that was, in modern English, a little more clunky, to being, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. But I have to admit that there comes a point that today we kind of struggle with words like hark and herald. Hark simply means listen or pay attention or hey you. And herald refers to that role of the messenger angels. And so when we think of herald, we don't think of a name like maybe herald, think of the herald or the messenger angels singing this song. The tune for this was taken from a secular piece of music by Felix Mendelssohn called Festgesang for male voices and brass. And as I was looking this up, I'm a Mendelssohn fan. I think I need to go find that particular setting too. I have all kinds of new exciting things to try out. But as we go through Hark the Herald Angels Sing, these very familiar words, I think that it's really helpful to remember that this is not just Charles Wesley as a new Christian telling the story of the angels coming and speaking to the shepherds, but he makes some pretty bold dogmatic or doctrinal assertions, and he has some biblical references in here that I wouldn't be familiar with if he didn't bring them out to me. For example, in stanza 2, it refers to in stanza 3, I'm sorry, it says that light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. That is a wonderful sentiment, but I think that many Christians forget that that actually is a direct reference to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. We don't always think about the prophet Malachi being one of the great Christmas prophets, talking about Jesus coming with healing in his wings. But that's exactly how Charles Wesley reads Malachi and brings him to us. And it reminds us that the entire Bible speaks of Jesus and of the gift of his grace. And so we look to the whole Bible to tell us more, not just about God's grace and God's love in general, but about God's grace and God's love specifically in Christ Jesus our Lord, who was born and who was announced by messenger angels to shepherds there in the fields by night.
Anything else about Hark the Herald Angels Sing? When do you typically sing Hark the Herald? I know you were, since you mentioned, you know, Mendelssohn's piece for male voices in brass, you probably play it on your tuba, but
I wish I did.
When do you sing?
We tend to sing this one as the hymn of the day for the Christmas Eve service, for our late Christmas Eve service. And we, like many churches, have a whole cycle of services for Christmas. And as much as we can get it in, we do.
Let's take a look at 381. Let our gladness have no end.
This hymn, I was a vicar in training to be a pastor. The privilege of getting to serve at a congregation that had a Slovak history, German Lutherans, but there's a pretty good pocket of Slovak Lutherans, and this hymn is their favorite Christmas carol because it's originally Bohemian, coming out of what it would be the kind of modern day Czech Republic area in Slovakia, in that part of Europe. But beyond the fact that both the text and the tune are from the 15th century in Bohemia, we know very little about the origins of it. We have some information on the translator, but not a whole lot on that. And this is a wonderful, simple hymn with a great refrain. And that refrain goes like this. On this day, God gave us Christ, his Son, to save us. Christ, his Son, to save us. And the way that those words fit in together with that tune and those that repeated idea of Christ, his Son, to save us, you can't sing this hymn and walk away with any idea other than Jesus is Christ, God's Son, to save us. And again, that's going to come out. In this hymn, it really focuses in the refrain also on that Jesus is God's Son sent to save us because of God's love. And we hear echoes of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. This is a wonderfully familiar Bible verse that many Christians know by heart and love, but we don't for it to be tied into a Christmas hymn quite like this. But God loved the world and sent his Son, Christ, his Son, to save us. And we have that connection with John 3:16. We also have a connection here of, once again, the whole Bible bringing forward the truth of Jesus. Stanza 2 says, prophesied in days of old, alleluia! God has sent him as foretold, alleluia! And here we see that this isn't news. Jesus isn't God's kind of plan B or a Johnny come lately. Instead, God has been promising since Genesis chapter 3 that he would be sending a savior. And then we discover that the savior is his son. And his son has come into the world to save us. And again in this hymn, the alleluias echo through. We sing alleluia 8 times in this hymn. Mm. And that word alleluia means praise the Lord in Hebrew, and we just switch it over into English and sing again and again, praise the Lord. A lot of times we think about alleluia in the church as an Easter word, but we pray for the incarnation and the enfleshment of Jesus, his Son, our Lord, and we continue to sing alleluia not just at Christmas, but also at Easter. And so alleluia, indeed, praise the Lord, because on this day of Christmas, God has sent his Son, Christ the Lord, to save us.
There's a lot of repetition in this hymn, which I think, when you're learning something, repetition is always good. So, you know, being able to repeat these alleluias and repeat this refrain really, it allows you to kind of think about what you're singing and what all this joy is about that we're celebrating.
Absolutely. There's not a bad time to praise the Lord, but to get to sing this probably on Christmas Day, I think that on this day Christ sent his Son to save us really lends itself to being sung on Christmas Day itself and having that chance. And to remember, hey, today we really remind ourselves to praise the Lord because of the goodness that has come in the birth of God's Son, Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, these are fantastic hymns, and I have enjoyed the opportunity to dig into these hymns. Anything else about any of the three hymns we talked about today?
These three hymns, especially the first two being so famous and so widely used both in the church and in general collections of Christmas music, remind us to slow down and hear the wonderful mystery of Jesus, who is God's Son, the Word of God, the light of the world, made flesh. Oh, come, indeed, let us adore him, just like the hymn invites us to do.
The Reverend Peter Ill, Senior Pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. Pastor Ill, thanks so much for joining us for the 12 days of Christmas and these great hymns.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.